We're very happy to have Adil with us tonight, and he does have to leave the room pretty quickly as he is under very strict bail conditions. Some of you probably know this, and has to be home to Montreal North by 8:30. I just would like to give you a few words about Mr. Shekauri before we start. He is a father of two, almost three children, who came to Montreal as a permanent resident in 1995 with his mother, father, and sister. He's currently a master's student at the University of Montreal, where he is studying pedagogy. He was arrested in 2003 and spent almost 2 years in prison without charge under secret evidence. After a campaign led by his family, which received the support of people across the country, he was finally released on bail. With people such as Denis Arcand, Monia Makia, and several members of parliament coming forward with bail money. Although he is extremely happy to be reunited with his wife, his 4-year-old daughter, Haula, and his 2-year-old, Abdullah's son, he is now living under very severe bail conditions, which affect his entire family. And he's still living under the threat of deportation to torture. The security certificate under which he was arrested has not yet been tried in court, not even under the limited terms of the security certificate process. Please welcome Adil Shekauri.
I'm really happy to be with you tonight to discuss those important topics. Unfortunately, I cannot be here until the end of this event. And before starting, I want to tell you that English is my third language. And I'm a French teacher, so I will try my best to say some words about those important issues and to give you an idea about my story. But I have just 10 minutes, no more. So, first of all, I don't like the dilemma, the way we are discussing this question, national security versus civil liberties. I think it's not appropriate way to pose the problem. It's clear that if any government or its agencies succeed to convince the public opinion that this country or any country in the world is facing a tremendous threat or a big danger, it's clear that the public opinion will ask about more securities and more laws. But the problem we have to understand that countries have right to defend their security and have right to defend itself against terrorism, for example, or any threat. But the main point is not to sacrifice human rights and to have an equal right to judge justice, for example. Justice, freedom, equality, dignity, protection from torture must be respected for all human beings, not simply for citizens. In all situations, 2 centuries from La Déclaration Universelle des Droits de l'Homme, I will say it in French, I'm sorry, I feel that in a modern society, those rights are absolute, and any effort to face a threat, terrorism, for example, must use the natural justice principles. So now we can analyze, if you want, those issues and the impact of the security on civil liberties, but not before doing this nuance. Cette nuance. So we have to have in mind this nuance. We don't have to forget that it's not a question of balancing between civil liberties and national security. We can protect ourselves from terrorism or against any threat, but with respect to human rights. We can defend ourselves. We can fight any threat, but the most point that we don't have to forget, it's human rights are absolute. Civil liberties are absolute. There is not a question of balancing. Last week I was in court, and the three prosecutors and the judge were discussing about my case. And they were talking if they can't send somebody to torture, to cut his or to take out his nails or for example to give him electric shock. And it was a discussion in the court. I was sitting and people are discussing about my case, if they can torture me or not, in Canada in 2005. And it was normal that for them to send somebody to torture, said it's reasonable to do it. So the problem is it's not a balancing between human rights and national security. We have some things who are absolute, like protection against torture, like the justice, like freedom. We cannot just discuss a balance between those issues. The second topic of tonight is about the media. From my personal case, 15 minutes after I was arrested, the 21st May 2003, a journalist called my mother to tell her the news and to get some comments, the family's comments. So the first person who knew about my arrest was a journalist. Now I have evidence that he's working closely with CSIS. But my evidence will be secret, like there's a secret. The second night from jail, the second day from jail, I called lots of media, CTV, Radio Canada, CBC. I talked to them and I give my own version. They accept it and they give it to the public opinion. So it was for me easy to reach the media, not like any other countries. Here you can have access to the media and you can explain your story from jail by letters. I don't want to discuss all the ideological currents. It's clear if you send a letter from jail and you're suspected to be a terrorist to a national post, they will not publish it. I said many. I don't want to discuss those currents and ideological currents, national post or right in Canada against the left. But it's clear that you have access to the media. After the coalition, Justice for Adisharka, we start his work, we sent many letters to the media. We tried to collaborate with them to send a clear message to the public opinion that those measures are against human rights and civil liberties, and to send a clear message that I'm innocent and I'm living in very bad conditions in jail and the condition of my family. What I want to say tonight, that the media, the topics of the media is not an easy topic. When you analyze the work of the media, you have to know that there is a lot of control, it's clear, there has a lot of issue, and it's not easy to say your word or to send your message, but you have to try, you have to struggle, and perhaps you will get something. It's not clear, it's not easy, but you have to try.